The words of God given to us today are from Acts chapter 27, verses 33 to 37. It is page 236 in the New Testament. It's Acts chapter 27, verses 33 to 37. Allow me to read the words. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now, I urge you to take some food. You needed to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. Amen. It was the night of the 14th day since the Alexandrian ship that left Fairhaven at Crete got swept up in the deadly gale known as the Northeaster. People who couldn't eat or drink in midst of thick darkness, in which neither the sun nor stars could be seen, let go of any hope of being rescued. But they recovered their strength due to Paul's words, which were full of conviction. Although it was the middle of a night when nothing could be seen, the sailors sensed that they were nearing a land based on the movement of the winds and the reverberation of the waves. They twice confirmed that the water was becoming shallow very fast, so that the ship would not get caught in some rock. They let down four anchors to hold down the ship. The Alexandrian ship, which was tossed around like a leaf in midst of the deadly gale, at last came to rest on a fixed point on the 14th day. Everything was still uncertain, and the sailors tried to escape by themselves by using a boat. But Paul put a stop to their plan. The soldiers cut off the ropes with which the sailors had planned to lower the boat and threw it away, just as Paul had advised. By the soldiers cutting off and throwing away the ropes, paradoxically, the people on the Alexandrian ship at last became a true community that shared the same goal. Now what was left for them to do was to hope for the day to break as soon as possible. And today's text is a testimony about what happened next. This is from verse 33. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. At last, the daybreak came. At that time, Paul stood up again. As I've said before, the person in charge of that ship was no longer the captain, the ship owner, or Julius the centurion. The person in charge was Paul, already at the end of his life and old and sick, who possessed nothing. True leadership shines in a crisis, and only those who throw themselves for the sake of others are able to exert such leadership. Paul was that kind of a person. The people had not eaten or drunken anything for no less than 14 days. How hungry, really hungry, they must have been. So today's text testifies that Paul urged many people to eat food. Here, many people can mean a lot of people among all of the people. Therefore, there could be people who are not included in the words, many people. But Greek adjective hapas means all people and not just many people. Therefore, Paul had encouraged everyone who was waiting for the day to break on the deck of the Alexandrian ship, which had finally come to anchor after being pushed around in the deadly gale, to eat emergency food that were on board. This is from verse 34. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. Paul urged once more to everyone on the deck to eat food. And he explained that he was doing so that they could survive. And no one will come to any harm, not even to a single hair on their heads. This is from verse 35. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. And as everybody watched, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, and started to eat the bread himself. Verse 36. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. When people on the deck saw for themselves that Paul was eating the bread, they also relaxed and started to eat bread themselves. Now, today's text, as read above, brings up a lot of questions. If a person is starved for 14 days in an extreme situation, wouldn't it be human instinct to start looking for something to eat as soon as the situation got better? But Paul encouraged everyone on the ship to eat no less than two times. In the Greek original, when we look at verse 33, the encouragement is in an infinitive. This means that his encouragement continued. It didn't stop just once. If a person has starved for 14 days, he or she must eat in order to survive. But people refuse to eat. Therefore, Paul had to emphatically explain that he was encouraging them to eat to save them. And that not one was going to lose a single hair by eating. Even then, people were reluctant to eat. Paul, as everyone watched, took the bread, gave thanks to God, and ate the bread himself. Only then, the people who had been watching Paul's every move closely began to relax and started to eat the bread. Isn't this strange? Why did the people who had starved for 14 days in the midst of a deadly gale, not even one of them attempted to eat? For what reason did they refuse to listen to Paul's continued encouragement, which was repeated twice? What was the meaning of Paul's emphatic insistence that not one of them was going to lose a single hair after eating because it was for their survival? And why did people only start to eat after seeing that Paul was okay after eating the bread? So today's text brings to mind all kinds of questions. But anyone who has fasted for several days can easily understand this puzzling passage. In order for any person to fast, it is necessary to prepare beforehand and afterwards for a period that is same in duration as the period of fasting. For example, if you were to fast for a week, you must start a diet a week before. Not only do you need to reduce the amount that you eat, but you must move from regular meals to soft foods to porridge and grainy soup in that order so that your stomach is completely empty when you begin fasting. If you do not do this, then the foodstuffs remaining in your stomach cannot be expelled and becomes as hard as a rock and causes stomach cramps and headaches. Now, these kind of stomach cramps and headaches continue for days until the stuff in your bowels comes out. During the period of fasting, the stomach and bowels all cease their movements. Therefore, after fasting, it is absolutely necessary to control what you eat during a period that is as long in duration as the period of fasting. In opposite to how you prepare to begin fasting, you start to eat grainy soup first, then porridge, and then move on to soft foods in that order, and then eat regular foods. If you immediately start to eat regular foods after fasting because you're hungry, the digestive system that has slowed down during the fasting will become overburdened. This can cause an acute indigestion, and in extreme situations, it may cause death. In conclusion, in order to fast for a week, you must prepare for it beforehand for a week, take care with your diet for a week afterwards, and so you must be careful with food for a total of 3 weeks. The first time that I fasted for a week was in my 20s. There were those who told me the importance of preparing for it, but I let it pass out of young confidence. I ate everything I wanted to eat and drank whatever I wanted to drink until the night before the fasting began. I thought that I could overcome any situation given that I was young. But a fasting without preparation was not something that could be overcome simply with young confidence. The first day was kind of endurable, but the situation changed on the second day. Since I had not eaten anything for a day, the stomach was empty. And since the stomach was empty, I had no strength in my lower bowels. Since I had no strength in my lower stomach, there was no way that I could expel the stuff in my bowels. On the third day, that stuff in the intestine, which I couldn't expel, became as hard as a rock, and I began to suffer from severe stomach cramps and headaches. It was hard to suppress nausea from them. These painful stomach aches and headaches and nausea ended on the fourth day when miraculously the rock-hardened excretion that was in my bowels came out. It was so painful. I had suffered so much that after the week of fasting ended, I faithfully followed the recommendations of people around me as to what to do. For a week, I controlled my diet so that I moved from eating grainy soup to porridge to soft foods, and only afterwards ate regular meals. And needless to say, each time I fast for a week, I faithfully prepare for a week before the fasting and careful and am careful about diet week after. that people on the Alexandrian ship was not able to eat or drink for 14 days was not something that had been planned beforehand. Until the very morning when the ship left Fair Haven at Crete Island, they ate whatever they wanted and drank all that they wanted. When the ship left Fair Haven, there was a mild southerly wind, and they believed that the passage to Phoenix would be smooth. But due to the deadly northeaster that suddenly came upon them, they couldn't eat or drink for 14 days. They, in fact, had embarked on a fasting for 14 days without any preparation. Therefore, accordingly, most among them would have suffered from extreme stomach cramps and headaches. Due to excretions, they became hardened as a rock in their bowels. Two thousand years ago, the most important means of transportation was the ship. The Mediterranean Sea, even as now, was not always calm. Even if it were not a deadly gale like Northeaster, small and big storms brewed over the sea without any warning. For people who had the experience of using the ship to get around at that time, they all would have experienced not eating a couple of days when the ship came up on a storm. Therefore, it was a common knowledge among passengers and, of course, among the sailors that you couldn't just start eating regular foods after not eating for a couple of days. That the people on board an Alexandrian ship was not able to eat or drink for 14 days in midst of deadly gale meant that their diet had to be controlled for 14 days afterwards. But Paul, seemingly out of nowhere, encouraged people to eat food. Of course, no one was going to listen to him. It was not common sense to do so. Paul continued to encourage people to eat, but this was not going to make them accept his advice. Paul emphatically explained that he was encouraging them to eat so that they could survive, and therefore no person's single hair would come to harm by doing so. Even then, there was no one who was willing to eat. Paul took the bread, gave thanks to God, and as everyone watched on, ate the bread himself. Paul had eaten a regular food, bread, after 14 days, but nothing unusual like an acute indigestion happened to him. Only after confirming this, people began to relax and to eat bread. Here, we must ask another question. This is not the first time that Paul had undertaken a sea voyage in his life. He had gone all over the Mediterranean world no less than 3 times. And Paul used ships on many occasions. In particular, according to 2 Corinthians 11:25, it says that he had 3 shipwrecks and he had experienced being lost in open sea. This means that he had the experience of not being able to eat or drink while he was on a sea voyage and knew that it was necessary to control diet in such situations. So why did Paul, in such situation, encourage people in the text to eat regular foods no less than 2x? And how was it possible for him to be fine without suffering a severe stomach ache, although he ate bread like normal times while others watched on? And what is the reason that none of the 275 people who watched them and were encouraged and ate bread did not develop an acute indigestion? Now, in the New Testament, the Greek verb which is used to denote eating is etheo or phago. The verb which describes chewing on a solid food like hard bread is trogo. When you eat food with someone, the verb synestheo is used. Despite these many verbs in Greek language that describes the action of eating, the Greek verb used by Paul to encourage people to eat is a different verb. In the Greek text, the verb metalambano, which means to take with, and the verb prosalambano, which means to take for something, are used together in a fascinating way. If we were to translate today's text with the help of a classics professor and a member of our church, Kim Han, who is well-versed in Greek, with its original meaning and nuances intact, it would read like this. Until the day was about to break, Paul continued to encourage everyone to take bread together and said, as of today, it has been 14 days that all of you, while waiting for salvation, simply starved without taking anything for the purpose of obtaining salvation. This is why I'm encouraging you to take bread together. This is for your salvation, and not one among you will see harm coming to a single hair on his head. After saying this, Paul took bread in front of all people, gave thanks to God, broke it, and ate it. When he did so, people were encouraged and took the bread for the purpose of obtaining salvation. Once we understand the precise meaning and nuance of the original text, we can understand why Paul did not say, let's eat food, but let's take it together. The Paul was not encouraging people who had starved for 14 days to take food for the flesh, which is bound to rot away one day. He was encouraging them to take true life, eternal life, through the bread that they had always eaten. If they, who had not eaten or drunken for 14 days, had taken food for their bodies that were bound to rot away, most of them would have come down with an acute indigestion and be in a critical condition. But Paul was confident about this. Even if they had not eaten for 14 days, so long as they ate to take true life that was given from above, God who is true life, well, without fail, take care of them. For this reason, Paul emphatically explained that if they ate food in order to take true life, not one of them was going to lose a single hair from his head. And he demonstrated how, although one may not have eaten or drunken anything for 14 days, when one eats bread to take eternal life, God will take care of them, take care of him or her. And people began to be encouraged only then, and they all began to eat bread for the purpose of taking true life that Paul was talking about. Now, today's Paul reminds us of Paul right after he became called by the Lord on his way to Damascus. On the way to Damascus, Paul became seized by the Lord's light and lost his sight at the same time. For 3 days, he could not see, eat, or drink anything. When Ananias, who had been sent by the Lord, laid his hands on Paul, scale-like things fell from Paul's eyes, and he regained his sight and received baptism. And according to chapter 9, verse 19 of the Acts, Paul regained strength after taking some food. Here, it is necessary to recall the teaching on this verse, which was given 10 years ago. According to the Greek original, the Greek verb, which has been translated as ate, is recorded as lambano, which has the meaning of to take. This tells us that Paul, who had not eaten or drunken anything for 3 days, began to eat food to take true life from above after his baptism, and did not return to his old life in which he craved food for the flesh. Even before Paul received the Lord's calling on his way to Damascus, Paul ate 3 meals a day without fail. But this was solely for the sake of his body. Even if you fill up your body with all kinds of delicacies at each meal, the body is bound to die. Therefore, to eat and drink for the sake of the body in long perspective is to zealously eat and drink ultimately for the sake of dying. What would be more tragic than working hard and making all kinds of efforts simply to eat and drink with zeal to die? But Paul, who became united with Jesus Christ through baptism after scales fell from his eyes and he gained a spiritual sight, became a person who ate and drank to take true and eternal life that the Lord gives, no longer to die, but to live true and eternal life. If Paul's body, which had been eating and drinking for the sake of the flesh, was merely a piece of flesh that was going to rot away, Paul's body that began to eat and drink to take true life became sublimated to a pathway for the eternal life. As a result, although Paul's body, which had never been strong to begin with, became older and even weaker as the time went by, the work of true life in him did not decrease or become reduced at all. And so Paul, who had entered the end of his age and was weak and old, in today's text too, encouraged people who had survived a deadly gale to eat bread in order to take true life together from then on. If people who survived a deadly northeaster started to eat and drink only for the sake of their bodies as before, then wouldn't they have survived a storm only to die at the end? From a long perspective, what is so great or joyful about having survived a deadly gale, since they were all going to die in a moment anyway? But if they became people who began to eat and drink in order to take true life because of the deadly Northeaster, then even when ultimately the time came for their bodies to rot away, they would enjoy eternal life in the Lord who lived again in 3 days. Therefore, the life of a person who eats and drinks only for the body cannot be the same as the life of a person who eats and drinks in order to take true life. When Rahab Jericho ate and drank for the sake of her body, she was nothing more than a lowly prostitute. But when she started eating and drinking to take true life, she became included in the family tree of Jesus and a signpost of faith. Samson, who ate and drank for the sake of his flesh, became a captive of the enemy forces, ended up being a slave with his eyes put out. But when he started eating and drinking to take true life, Samson became a great judge who saved the Israelites even as he died as a slave. Zacchaeus, who ate and drank for the sake of his greed and his desires, was a corrupt official hated by everyone. But when he began to eat and drink to take true life, he became the face of true repentance. I have said before that the original word for face in Korean is 얼굴, meaning the shape of one's spirit. The places where our spirits reveal their shapes are our faces. A spirit of a person cannot be seen, but the condition of a person's spirit is revealed as is through the person's face. Now, could the face of Rahab, who ate and drank for the self, be the same as the face of Rahab, who ate and drank to take true life of God? Could the face of Samson, who ate and drank for the sake of his flesh, be the same with the face of Samson, who ate and drank to take true life, although he was blind? Can't we see the difference between the face of Zacchaeus, who ate and drank to get his hands on illegal bribes, and the face of Zacchaeus, who gave up all of his illegally gotten wealth and eats and drinks to take true life? What is beautiful? The face of young man Paul, who ate and drank according to what his body wanted, or the face of old man Paul, who encourages people on board on the Alexandrian ship to take true life together, although he is old and weak? It is not true that our spirits are not seen. Our spirits are bound to be revealed through our faces. Let us no longer live as a foolish person who eats and drinks with zeal only to die. As advised by Paul through 1 Corinthians 10:31, let us eat and drink only for the glory of God. In other words, to eat and drink in order to take God's true life together. If one eats solely for the sake of the body, even the most delicious food can become poison that can harm the body, like cancer. But a body, even if it has cancer, can live as a pathway of eternal life if the person eats and drinks to take true life with others. Have you ever seen the face of a dead person? Isn't it the case that the face of the dead who ate and drank for the flesh and the face of the dead who ate and drank to take true life are completely different? The footprints of our lives, even after we are dead, remain as they are on our faces. Our faces are the shapes of our spirits. Let us pray. Thank you for making me reflect on myself, reflect on what I had been eating and drinking for all this while through today's text. Lord, you have made me realize that to eat and drink for the body that will soon rot away is to foolishly eat and drink with zeal, only to die. Help me not to forget that Paul's encouragement to eat and drink, to take true life with others, is your invitation to me. From now on, whatever I eat or drink, may I eat and drink only for the sake of God's glory, only in order to take true life in God. And so therefore, even if our bodies may decline, may we live as pathways of life in which God's life thrives. And when the moment comes when our breathing stops, may our faces reveal our spirits, which had been living with the true life of God and become signposts of true life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.